This segment is brought to you by Jigmaster Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and use promo code PNF20 and save 20% off your next jig order today. Hello, and welcome back to the Paddle and Fin podcast. This is Adventures with Outdoor Woman, and here's your host, Mrs. Susie Roloff. Adventures of Outdoor Woman podcast, and today is my last podcast of 2020. Say what? Yeah. So if you guys haven't heard yet, I'm sure we're going to be making a post here soon, but we're going to be taking a little bit of a holiday break. And after the new year, my podcast will start back up. It'll still be every other Saturday. And my first episode of 2021 will be on January 9th. So make sure you guys tune in for that. But yeah, all the other segments, we're taking a holiday break and going to take some time to kind of, you know, spend some time to kind of collect ourselves, spend time with family, and, you know, get everything else done that we need to get done. So, but yeah, in that time, in the meantime, and if you guys are watching right now, you guys can see that I have a totally different scenery that I'm sitting at right now. So I just recently moved all of my fishing items down into the basement of the new house. So yay! the garage project hasn't even gotten started yet, so that might be a little bit more of a delayed thing. But in the meantime, I figure with it being the holidays and everything, it's actually the perfect time to be going through all of your gear and tackle and all that other stuff because of all the different sales that are going on. With one of them, especially my favorite, Tackle Warehouse. So they have their 25 days of savings, which I almost thought that they weren't going to have because I didn't hear or see anything until like 2 days ago when it started. I was like, yay! So, yeah, just kind of give you guys a little bit of a rundown of what I do during this time of year. I kind of touched on this a little bit last year, too. During the winter time, what I do to kind of get my stuff together and clean up and organize and all that other stuff. So I'll actually show you guys a little bit here how I have things set up. So over here, I've got this little kind of what I call like my little terminal tackle bin. And it's just like a little storage bin thing that I got from Menards. And I basically keep excess weights and boxes of hooks and stuff like that in here that I don't really need on a, you know, daily basis type of thing. It's kind of my excess storage. And then, of course, moving over here, I might have a little bit of a problem. just kidding. No, I need more stuff. Anyway, so I need to definitely go through all of my boxes, not only to just kind of do a once over, but, you know, it's a really good time to look over everything, especially the hooks. That's kind of a key thing to make sure that you guys are keeping on top of, because if you don't stay on top of it and you have hooks that are rusting, or if the barbs are broke or not even present on there and you don't know and you're going to fish, you might lose the fish of a lifetime. So, you know, keep that in mind as you're going through all of your gear and everything. But what I plan on doing is I'll take everything out of these boxes. I'll give them a good wipe down. I'll inspect all the different baits, make sure that they're, you know, still visibly good. I'll look over the hooks, make sure that they're still in good shape. If not, you know, I'll take note of what size they are and add it to my list of things that I need to order. And yeah, that's kind of the gist of this. And so that includes, you know, not just like my hard baits and whatnot, but also my terminal tackle. So all my hooks, all my little terminal tackle boxes that I have for different things. I've got like jigs over there and chatter baits. I even still have a lot of the trailers on everything. So you can kind of see down here how I've got some trailers still left on things. And This was actually, as I was bringing stuff in, all of this stuff was still in one of my tote boxes from the last time I went out fishing, which was, I think it was September 24th, if I remember right. So it's been a minute. So yeah, it's been sitting there, but luckily nothing had rusted or anything like that type of thing. So yeah, I'm going to take off all the trailers, make sure all the hooks are really good and everything, and see what I need to order, see what I'm low on stock on, clean all the boxes, and, you know, clean my baits too, because, you know, sometimes, you know, you get kind of busy and caught up at the end of the day and you're like, oh, I'm just going to throw everything in and oh, I'll use it next time. That'll kind of clean it off a little bit. Well, at the end of the season, everything needs a really good cleaning as well. And then I'm going to look over my line to see what I'm low on, what I need to order. And then, after all that, then I'll actually go through and, take all my reels off and everything and, inspect those as well. So we're actually going to go to the other side of my table here. And, clearly I have a, I'm a little bit OCD when it comes to organization. And these containers I actually got at Walmart. I think they're like $3 a piece or something like that. They aren't too expensive. But I actually need to get about three more because a lot of boxes are getting filled to their limit. So I'm going to have to get a little bit more creative with naming things. So like for one thing, like my beavers, I'm going to name one just missile baits because that's 90% of my beavers. Package paddle tails, you know, that's kind of self-explanatory. A lot of things are pretty self-explanatory, but yeah, I definitely need to expand upon that. And then you can kind of see here my Plano cases have definitely seen some time on the water, so I'm definitely going to be cleaning those up and everything. Don't mind my ceiling here. We've been working on getting our internet cables run through the house and everything and finding other cables that we have no idea what they're for or anything like that. So it's been a fun time moving into a new house. So, but yeah, I've definitely got some other baits and stuff that I've had sitting around that I need to inspect. And, you know, it's also a good thing to, you know, not only do an inventory, but look through your packages, like open every single one of them up. And trust me, you'll thank me later. Because, you know, if you don't, and you throw a bag to go fishing with, and then you open up that bag and they're all melted together, or they're all ones that have already been used and can't be used again because they're really torn or just, you know, whatever it may be. And then you're like, well, I should have looked at that earlier, but I didn't choose the time to do so. So trust me when I say look through every package, see how many are actually in there too. Sometimes I've gotten lazy and thrown packs that only have one bait left in them and don't realize it until I go out again. I'm like, oh, why didn't I restock that? So a couple other little things to consider as well. Some important things that I'd also like to discuss that I think are really, really important when going over all of your stuff and gear and whatnot. All right, so some of the most important things that I like to say should kind of take a priority when you're going through all of your stuff and making sure that it's in good working order and that you're well stocked with is your first aid kit. So I learned this year that the first aid kit box I had was in no way, shape, or form waterproof. And so when my kayak flipped, it filled up with water and 90% of the contacts was ruined because they all got waterlogged and everything. So I got me a pretty awesome waterproof box. You know, you can get about any brand or whatever that you want. This is just a, it's just called Outdoors, GSI Outdoors. And it's got a really tight seal on it and everything. But when it comes to the actual contents, you know, that's kind of up to you what you want to have in there. You know, your basic band-aids and stuff like that. You know, I go to a little bit more extreme just because I've had some previous medical training in my lifetime, but I've got a emergency blanket here, clippers, alcohol wipes, I got tweezers, I've got gloves in here, I got like eye drops in here too, because I mean, you never know if you're going to get into some bushes and it's going to make your eyes itch or whatever like crazy. I've got bite relief, sting relief, especially bite relief, because those damn buffalo gnats in the late spring are just awful and relentless, and I wish they would burn in hell. So yeah, I think everybody can agree with me on that. I've got one of those instant ice packs in here. I believe part of this was my bigger one. This was some of the contents that survived, but then I've also had to resupply some things. But as I'm actually looking through here, I'm realizing, you know what? Yeah, I have like no band-aids in here at all. I got gauze. I got antiseptic towelettes, but that's about it. I have no band-aids, so definitely need to go through here and see what I need and get stocked up on that. So you know, I'm a big safety advocate, so make sure you guys carry a first aid kit of some degree with you, because again, you never know when you're gonna need it. The next, probably the most important thing to give a good look over is your PFD. So I'm a big advocate for the inflatable one. One of the primary reasons is for that is, and this is going to be kind of brutally honest, but being a bigger gal, especially with the upper goods, a lot of those chest PFDs just, they do not fit me right. And I know that if, for some reason, if I were to go into the water, it would not fit on me right. I would kind of slip through and it just wouldn't be a good thing. So that's why I like the inflatable ones, because I know that they fit me. I have inflated one on myself before. If you guys had seen me at the women's event last year, I pulled it and inflated it and it worked and it stayed on me. So I know that it would keep me inflated. But also, you know, it's super lightweight. It's not constrictive or anything, and it's not added weight on me, especially during the hot summer days. So what a lot of people may not know about these inflatable PFDs is they have little pieces in them in the bottom here when you gotta take it apart. And I'll actually show you guys. So there's a couple different parts to it. So you've got your cartridge here, and this is what actually inflates your PFD. And then there's also like a little bobbin in here as well. Actually, I think that's with the auto inflatable one. So if it gets wet, it would actually trigger this thing to go off. So I don't think this one actually has a bobbin in it, but my other one does because it's an auto inflatable one. You gotta know when those expire. I think they have about a 3-year lifespan. And then you also wanna look over your CO2 cartridge to see if it's due for expiration or due for change out. One thing that I do is I just test mine out every single year. I like to see if the cartridge does go off and how my PFD inflates as well. If you guys had seen the video or the picture of me with my inflated PFD at the women's event, some of you guys may have noticed only about 3/4 of it inflated because the Velcro on these was a little too good on some parts. And so I realized, I was like, oh, okay, you gotta have that a little bit looser on there, you know, not too loose to where the actual inflatable part is coming out of it, but just loose enough so that if it were to activate, it'd be able to pull that apart real easily. So, you know, just kind of keep that in mind as you're going through everything. And it's also a really, really good idea to clean your PFD as well. There's a couple of different ways that you can clean a PFD. There's some, and I actually don't have it with me, which I should have gotten it, but they make like a deodorizer type stuff that you just pour in like a 5-gallon bucket of water and you just kind of dunk it a bunch of different times. It'll help get rid of any kind of lingering odor that's on it. It'll help clean a little bit, but as far as like cleaning, you might actually have to take a like a scrub brush or something like that, because I've got some parts up here that I've had a lot of wear, because they like are the spots that rub on my shoulders, or my fishing rod might be constantly rubbing up against it like that. So I definitely need to take a good cleaning to this so that it stays in really good shape. And then the next thing that I've kind of learned over this year as well, especially after flipping, is about twice a year I'm actually going to start doing this, inspecting your rods if you don't already do so. And so this isn't just like a visual inspection, but more of like a physical inspection as well. So the eyelets on some of your rods can succumb to a lot of beating, especially if you know, if you've got them stored horizontally in your kayak, especially on a Hobie. You know, if you've got three or four of them in a single holder, they're going to be rubbing up against each other. Even if you do have the rod covers on them, they will sometimes pop out of the covers and still catch on things and whatnot. So what I like to do is I like to just give it a little bit of a wiggle on each eyelet to see if any of them are loose or about ready to break. And when I was inspecting my rods after I had flipped, I had a rod that where I just barely touched the eyelet and it fell right off. And I was like, I'm glad I found that out now, so that way I am not going to use that rod until I get it fixed for now. I mean, you can fish with a broken eyelet. It's not recommended. It does affect, you know, your casting and your reeling on there. But, you know, it's always good to give everything a good look over to make sure that it's, you know, not broken. It's not about ready to break. And also, you know, look at all the, you know, epoxy around each eyelet as well. Because sometimes, you know, older rods, and being out in the sun all the time, sometimes they can start cracking and kind of getting brittle and falling apart. So make sure that everything is looking good on there as well. So definitely some, ooh, that's why I have a rod cover usually. So, and I'm not used to being in the basement yet. So I just knocked the ceiling. So I'm going to be going over all of my rods. And then of course, you know, I'll be taking all my reels off. I'll be taking all the line off and doing a good deep cleaning of those and, you know, get those back into working order. Again, as far as like supplies for cleaning your reels and stuff, it doesn't really matter, you know, which brand you use or anything like that. I think I use Reel Butter for the grease, and like Reel Cleaner is the actual name of the bottle of the cleaner stuff, Q-tips and rubbing alcohol and stuff like that. So, you know, you can use whatever your heart's desire when it comes to that. And then let's see here. Other things I'll kind of like look over too is just like other like random stuff that I keep. I'll look at my pliers and see if they need sharpened, especially the scissors after cutting, who knows, you know, how many yards of braid, you know, you're snipping all the time. You know, they need a good sharpening after quite a while and a good cleaning. So yeah, a lot of things take a lot of beating throughout the season. So make sure at the end of the season, or, you know, maybe even two times during the season, you're taking time to take care of your gear, because the longer you take care of it, the longer it's going to take care of you as well. Let's see here. What else was I wanting to talk about? I actually don't have a lot of other big crazy things to really touch on. One of the, you know, main focuses for me for next year is definitely going to be the Paddle and Fin Trail series. So definitely been working on that, trying to get some things in place and whatnot. So that's going to be my main focus next year. But I also got to thinking, you know, well, what I want to do as far as, you know, tournaments go. You know, I mean, with the Paddle and Fin Trail series, I'm not actually competing. I'm just, you know, running the events and everything. And I was like, you know, I've been really hammering it when it comes to tournaments for quite a while, you know, and with COVID happening this year, I had my springtime fishing stolen away from me, pretty much. My plan was to go to Banner and Spring Lake to try to work on springtime fishing, the spawn and everything. And yeah, I missed it because of COVID. So, my plan for next year is, besides, the first event in April, is I'm gonna be spending a lot of time on my home waters. So I'm gonna really kind of slow down and not be concerned about planning the next tournament or wondering about the next travel thing that I have going on. Be like, I really need to just kind of slow down and really just learn. It's different from tournament learning in a sense. I feel that, learning during tournaments is definitely valuable. However, sometimes, you're in such a rush to try to figure things out really quickly for that day, or maybe you only had like a day to pre-fish and you haven't been able to figure things out, and then you do poorly in the tournament, and then you go home and you're like, well, what did I do wrong? What didn't I focus on? Those types of things. So I'm like, okay, I think I really just need to kind of slow down, go at my own pace, and kind of learn to read the water and learn to kind of break things down, and start asking a lot of questions like, okay, I threw this bait and I caught a fish. Well, why did it catch that fish? What's going on with the weather? What's going on with the water? What's going on with the fish? What's going on with, structure? That type of thing. I'm really gonna focus on just learning and learning a lot more. Just because I feel like I've been so rush, 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 rush to catch fish, and I'm just okay, I'm just using, my confidence thing. But, I feel like I've lost chances to kind of really focus on other techniques that I am very, not as confident on. So, techniques such as like drop shot or fishing deep. Stuff like that. It's just like whenever I think about fishing deep water, I'm just like, yeah, I got nothing. So, yeah, definitely want to work on going outside my comfort zone, really hone in on, skills and just reading the water, reading my graph. Been thinking about upgrading my graph, but, buying a house and everything, the expenses can catch up to you a little bit. But, yeah, just really slowing down and just taking my time. And with the whole trail series too, I feel like I'm going to be able to kind of give back in a sense too. I hope to give experiences to anglers that like I wish I would have had, at my first tournament or at a trail series, So, yeah, just some kind of thoughts that I've had for next year. There's definitely a couple events that I'm really interested in, Lake St. Clair for one of them. So, I'm hoping I can definitely do that one. But actually, other than that, though, I haven't really been gung ho for a lot of other like big events or whatever. I mean, like the trail series that are being held, with Hobie and KBF and all the other trails. I'm just like, man, these are awesome. But I'm also at the same time, I'm like, it's great, but I really want to focus on home and focus on me. Like I really need to be like, okay, like I'm not gonna, change who I am in a sense, but I'm definitely gonna change like my learning capabilities and just focus on really improving myself as an angler. I kind of wanted to do that a little bit this year too, but 2020, man, let me tell you. It's been one hell of a ride so far. So, yeah, that's what I've got planned so far for 2021. Oh yeah, I know some other people were talking about what their top baits that they used for you know, this year that, you know, kind of gave him a lot of success and everything. So let me grab those real quick and I'll go over them with you. All right. So top baits for me for 2020. And I've got four here and I was like, do I want to do five? But I'm sitting here and I'm looking at all my stuff and I'm like, you know, I think I'm just going to do four because these four were my primary baits for this year. So, not really any particular order. I do have like my top two, like for sure. And then kind of like my secondaries. So I'm starting with kind of like the bottom, my bottom secondaries. So first one is definitely going to be the Wacky Worm. Definite confidence bait. You know, this color, black, blue, it's always killer, especially around here at home. And even sometimes in that clear water too, that black, blue just, you know, annihilates them. And this is the 5-inch, this is just the regular Yum Wacky Worm. You don't have to go anything crazy with it or whatever. So yeah, that is the first one. And then the second one is, kind of put it together here. So it's, this is kind of like a combo. So it's like a combination of technique and bait in a sense. So you guys all know that Shaky Head has a very special place for me, especially with the KBF National Championship in 2017. So it definitely made a bit of a comeback this year, but in a different way, in a sense of the bait that I use. So this is a BizBait. Gosh, I can't even think of the name of it right now. But the pack that I use was like a transition pack. And anyway, so I had some pretty good luck with this one. It's kind of got the little flared tail at the end there. And that worked pretty good for me. And then this is a, I think this is a 1/4 ounce Shaky Head. I do particularly like the owner ones because they've got that center part there of the little screw lock. I feel that holds the bait on there a lot better. You guys might not be able to see this here with my camera very well, but that's all right. And then we're going to come to my top two baits. We'll start with number two. So this is also a combo technique along with a bait. And this one is definitely, I mean, like, I feel like it's a tie between these two, honestly, because these are always my fallback on baits, my go-to baits, that type of thing. So the first one is, the technique is going to be a Texas rig. And favorite bait is the Missile Baits D-Bomb, specifically the green pumpkin blue color. This color and Superbug are my top two favorite colors. They do pretty awesome everywhere, especially this green pumpkin blue. Like it really, really did awesome for me this year. So like I was saying earlier with my plastics bags, like 90% of one of the boxes is Missile Baits. Well, over the winter, I'm going to make one of them just simply for Missile Baits, for specifically the D-Bombs, just because I carry about probably 4 bags of that green pumpkin blue color. I carry about 4 bags of the Superbug, and then I've got the Bruiser, I think is the one, Ballistic Bruiser, and then there's like another one that's in there too. And then of course, you know, regular green pumpkin is always good. But coming down to my number one bait, and I don't think this is going to surprise many people because this bait is just phenomenal, is the good old Jackhammer. This thing has just, it's caught so many fish this year. This is the 1/2 ounce. I kind of go between the 1/2 ounce and the 3/4 ounce. Just kind of depends, you know, where I'm fishing, how deep of water, how deep I want it to, you know, go in the water column and everything, but this bait is just solid. This is one of my favorite trailers. I just take a Kytec and I cut the little the paddle off, so that way it's just got that kind of a tail on there. And then my other favorite trailer, this is actually my favorite color right here, is the Bite Delight. I think that's how you say it, Bite Delight. But it's kind of got the chartreuse yellow on the bottom, and it's got like green pumpkin on top. It's got the green blade, and I use the Zocco trailers for that. This combination right here has been killer for me this year, and I caught a lot of smallmouth on Lake Mendota in Wisconsin on this thing. So yeah, this is an awesome bait. And I'm gonna share a little secret with you guys, is so the problem with the jackhammers, with the painted blades, especially the green ones, after a few uses, that paint will start chipping off. Go on Amazon and just type in, you know, green nail polish. I mean, of course, you're going to have like every color under the sun pop up. But in particular, this one is called Things I've Seen in Abergreen. It's by OPI. They're a little expensive. It's like, I think it's like $9 or $10 for this bottle, but it is nearly identical to the pumpkin green on the jackhammer blades. And then of course with the, I don't have one out right now, but the black and blue ones with the black blades, I did the same thing. I went out and just got a black color, black bottle of the OPI nail polish. I think I got them on Amazon. And I just repaint the blades as it comes off. And by golly, you know, this stuff stays on there pretty darn good. So another trick of the trade is, let's say you've had all of the color come off. Take a piece of sandpaper and rub both sides of the blade down, and then that nail polish will stick a lot better on there as well. So definitely some tricks you can do. I'm actually going to experiment with some of the chatterbait blades with the silver ones. I'm gonna experiment a little bit with some different colors and see if that produces any interesting results. So yeah, I'll let you guys know what happens with that. So yeah, that's kind of, you know, that in a little bit of a nutshell for you. So it's crazy to believe that it is the end, or will be the end of the year here in another couple weeks. You know, we're going to be having Christmas here in what, like 2.5 weeks or something like that. It's crazy. But you know, this year has definitely been, it's been a ride, but you know, it's been good in odd ways as well. You know, when I stop to think about it, it's like, well, if it wasn't for Rona, we wouldn't have bought a house. So kind of, you know, interesting perspective for you as well. But yeah, so anyway, hope everybody has a wonderful holiday season, a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and yeah, I'll see you guys again on January 9th. Have a good night.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. TRC Covers, protect your investment. Catch Products, shout out to Catch Products. Go to catchproducts.com and put the Paddle and Fin logo directly on your catch board. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com, use promo code PNF20, and save 20% on all your jig and tackle needs.